Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10:31, and we are going to sneak into chapter 11, and we're talking about submission, none of our favorite topic. I don't think it's never a popular deal, and I think for some reason we are naturally rebels. Just heard yesterday somebody say, and I was thinking about this, otherwise I probably wouldn't even cut it. They said, well, now I really don't want to do it because you just told me to do it. And I think all of us experience that, you know, the wet paint. Boy, do I want to touch it when it's wet, and not until someone tells me that it's wet. But this idea of submission is a hard one, and we are talking about lofty things because we're talking about the Trinity and how the Trinity loves and submits to one another, and that's what makes this passage great. Verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. What a statement. Paul says that we should imitate him as he imitates Christ. Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. The head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. If you have the Gospel Transformation Bible, you can follow along with me because I found the notes amazing. And I'm just going to read them word for word as the Paul is instructing here about two clear gospel principles. And I think these are valuable. First, Christ and his Father are bound to one another as closely as a head to a body. The head of Christ is God. With this relationship of love, Christ gladly honors his Father, and neither seeks to establish independent from the other. Therefore, when Scripture calls believers to unity, love, and sharing of common life, it is calling us to respond to and reflect patterns of divine love. In marriage, this means that a wife should respect her husband's authority as the son honors the father, and a husband should delight in his wife as the father delights in his son. And while a spirit of mutual dependence should certainly characterize marriage, the principle applies to all other relationships in the body of Christ as well. We see that with wives and husbands. We see that employers and employees, children and parents. And we know, and it's a pretty familiar passage, but I'd ask you to turn over a couple pages to Philippians 2, of how the Lord Jesus, who was fully God, submitted to his Father. Chapter 2, verses 3 to 11, glorious verses. Philippians 2, 3 to 11. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I just a quick note on that. I've always seen that as a command, and I think it is, and it is a tough one. Have this mind among yourselves. But look at the promise snuck in there, which is yours in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. And that just changes the whole ballgame because the unbeliever is, it is impossible for them to submit, Romans 8, that they are hostile to God, they don't submit to God's law, indeed they cannot, but we can, because we have the mind of Christ. I think that's glorious. Who, though he was with God, in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him that name that is above every name. God bestowed that name on Jesus so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Christ Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so we see in this passage that submission was what Christ came to do on this earth. And it flows from his prayers. I think there's more examples than these, but let me just give you two, and you see it clearly. My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then in Luke 22:42, and this may be one that we remember as much as any of Jesus praying to the Father. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So even going to the cross, the cup of wrath coming, Jesus said, I would love to remove it, but your will be done and not mine. And then one author said that Christ's future life and ministry were orchestrated by his Father, and that Jesus was careful to carry out every detail according to the will of his Father. If you flip back a couple pages to John chapter 12, you see this. Just two quick passages right here. Again, close to when Jesus is ready to head to the cross, verse 49. John 12:49, and we'll slip into chapter 14, 49 and 50. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. So even Jesus spoke only what the Father commanded him to say. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. If you look in John 14, verse 28-31. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you will have rejoiced because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it, as I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So Jesus submitted, even though he was fully God, submitted to his Father. And I think an important point of application here is that only God the Father was the one who was never called to submit. He has headship over everyone. But even in the Trinity, they submitted to the Father. And then we are now to submit to Christ. And so, Alan's taught me this often and taught a lot of us this. Submission is not really submission when you want to do it. That's just kind of doing what you want to do. You know, that's easy for all of us. But do we submit well? And this is where, as we go to confession, do we submit to God? Do we submit to our husbands? And you say, but they're clowns. But that's not the issue. The issue is, are we submitting not because they are right? You remember children and parents? Children are to obey and honor their parents because it is right. It doesn't say children obey your parents because they're right. They are sometimes because it is right. And so we submit because this is what God has. These are the roles he's established. And he is always right. That's why we can submit to each other. So Jesus always submitted to the Father. He was always perfect. What we're called to do is to submit to people when they're not perfect at all, but because God, our perfect lawmaker, has told us that that's the rules. That's the way to do it. So let's go before him. And the question would be, do we willingly submit to those in authority over us? And let's pray for Mark, too, as he tackles this tough subject. I'll give you a minute. Gracious Father, we would confess it's very challenging for us to submit to anyone. And we read that every man is to submit to Christ. And the head of the wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. And these truths are amazing and lofty and maybe too much for us to comprehend. But we pray today that you would give us the mind of Christ that you have given to us at salvation. I'm so thankful that we do have this ability now to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ because we have the mind of Christ. And Lord, we would pray for the unbeliever as well, that they would see how impossible it is for them to submit right now, and they would race to the cross to receive your joy and love and forgiveness and grace, that they would have the mind of Christ, that they would be able to submit. And Lord, we would confess that we want to grow in our ability to submit willingly and to submit cheerfully, and not just because we have to, but because we now get to submit to our Savior. And thank you, Father, for these great truths. I pray that you would use Mark as he teaches on this tough subject, and that you would give him great balance, as Scripture is always perfect. I pray that our mind would submit to Scripture instead of the other way around. And we commit it to you. Pray in Jesus' name.